We're going to start Megillas Esther tonight. We're obviously not going to finish, but at least we'll give it a start. So Megillas Esther begins with Ahasuerus throwing a party. Now, it's interesting to note that this is the third year of his reign. Shnat Shalosh L'Malchai. Now, by all means, at this point, Ahasuerus should have been very depressed. Why? Because he used to be one of the three kings that ruled over the whole world. The Gemara says there are three kings that ruled over the whole world. Ahasuerus was one of them. Just now, at this point, Ahasuerus lost a major battle where he lost half of his kingdom. It says he ruled over 127 Medinos. That was only half of the world. There was another half of the world that did not, that used to be under his reign. Now it was not anymore. So by all means, he should have been depressed at this point. However, what is he doing instead? He's throwing a party. He's very happy. Why was he happy? The Gemara tells us that he made the following cheshbon. It says in the Navi that the Yidden, the Jews, will be in Golos, in exile, for 70 years. And after that, Hakadosh Baruch Hu will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So he did a calculation. He took out his calculator. And he made a calculation that the 70 years are up. And since the 70 years are up...
It didn't happen yet.
Yeah, and nothing happened. So it obviously means that he is now given permission to go ahead and do with the Jews as he sees fit. Not only that, but Chazal tell us that traditionally, Kodesh Baruch Hu made sure that the Jews were always under the ruling of a few different kings. Why? In case one of the kings turns evil, then Kodesh Baruch Hu will go ahead and at least if one of the kings will kill out the Jews under his reign, at least it will be Hashem will have the few Jews, the other Jews that are left under the other kings. And this is the first time that all the Jews were under his kingship, the kingship of Ahasuerus. This is the first time. It was as if it was carved out of a knife. If there were Jews in that country, then Ahasuerus ruled over that country. If there were no Jews in that country, then Ahasuerus did not rule over that country. And that Ahasuerus took that as another sign to show that, in fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, doesn't care about the Jews anymore, and he could now go ahead and do with the Jews as he pleases. So therefore, he's throwing a party. Now, he knew that in and of itself is not enough. He's got to cause the Jews to sin. He's got to cause them to do chatoim. How does he do that? He's got to throw a party and cause them to sin in a way they will be held responsible. So this party, first of all, there was a party for 6 months for all the people in his kingdom. And then after that, for 7 days, there is a party only for the Jews under his only under the Jews in the capital, in Shushan. And at this party, Mordechai obviously warned them not to go ahead and join this party. However, the Jews did not listen to him, and they joined the party. One of the things that Ahasuerus did in the party was, in the couches, or the chairs that were in the party, he put chatneys. Put chatneys in the couches, and the sitting on chatneys is at least an Isser Darabonon, thereby causing the Jews to sin. That's number one.
Put the chatneys where?
In the chairs, in the couches.
On the what?
In the couches. The couches,
the chairs.
C-H-A-I-R-S. Since when you can't sit into a chair that's you can't wear it.
It's an Isser Darabonon, though.
But sitting, it's just sitting there.
It's an Isser Darabonon. To sit on a chair.
Yeah, but you're not wearing them.
It's true, it's not a Daraisa, but it's a Darabonon.
I don't get the connection.
Yeah, whatever,
So they sat down there. They're not going to carry it. They're not going any place with it. Right,
yeah, but they get anyway.
There's a story about the Chofetz Chaim on a train there. In modern times, that there was he stood up on a whole trip or something.
Really? Because you thought the cease might be shot in?
Yeah, I...
Interesting.
What was the status of Jewish people in this country? They have not fled in Mitzrayim.
No.
They were free people.
Somewhat, yeah, to some degree, yeah.
But what is the idea to force Jewish people to sin? What is the purpose of a king? To be more powerful than Hashem?
What do you mean, Achashverosh is going to be more powerful than Hashem?
No, but why he wants to Jewish people to sin, invited to the party? What's his benefits?
No one likes Jews.
It's not clear he likes Jews or not. There was three people, they lived online, but he make party, you said, to make Jewish people do something wrong.
Yes.
But what is benefit for him?
Because if the Jews sin, then that will ruin the relationship between Hashem and the Jews, so to speak. And then he will, so to speak, be given permission to kill out the Jews. That was his goal.
No, but it means goal for. But what is benefit to kill Jews? What for the reason?
He hated them. He was a rabid anti-Semite.
It means. He did not see any benefit to use it as a normal people.
Well, he did see a benefit. We're going to see later on. But still, anti-Semites don't really think with logic, as we know.
Not only... Even King was actually a hidden anti-Semite. Actually, the story doesn't say he hates Jewish people. If you read Megillah, there is nothing to tell he hates Jewish people.
Doesn't say that he hated the Jewish people. Yeah. That's true, but the Mefarshim say that he was.
Because we don't any reaction, negative reaction with his name. We hate Haman, but it's not...
That's true, right. Haman is known to be like the archenemy of the Jews.
But even
he was a Malik, but Achashverosh was also a ganz fine anti-Semite.
What about Stalin? Was he any better? Hitler, was he any better?
Strange way to kill people, to first to make huge party. Usually party, invited party.
Right, it was a disguise, you're right.
We like him. If you like him, you invite to the party.
Right, it was a disguise. What were you going to say, Martin?
He said Mordechai told them not to come.
Right.
What was Mordechai's position in the community at that time?
So he was the third place in the Sanhedrin. Well, essentially he was the head of the Sanhedrin. So he was one of the most prominent rabbis, or spiritual leaders, if you will, of the time. And he warned the Jews not to go, but they completely ignored him. They did not listen to him.
This means there is also another people, not only Mordechai, but there is some people probably... say the same thing. He was leader, but there is another rabbi since this time, probably. We know only about Mordechai, but how about another leader? What did this say?
There was a lot of other. There was Zerubbabel. There was. Zerubbabel was from Yehuda. He would have been the king if there was Daniel. You know Daniel in the lion den? He was alive at the time.
Right.
There was a lot of other, you know, Yoshua. He was the coin, the Godel after the, in that.
Mm-hmm.
There was Ezra, Nehemiah. They're all in the same time period, basically.
But this is
am I right or wrong?
Not the same
country. Yeah.
This is what this is called country, Syria.
No, Persia.
No, this was in Iran.
Iran, yes. Persia. Persia.
Yeah.
What reason did he hate the Jews?
Why should he like
them? He was an anti-Semite. Chazal say, Balacha she'esav seren le'Yakov. Haman was worse, because Haman came from Amalek.
What?
Right? Haman came from Amalek. So he was worse. But Ahasuerus was a ganz fine anti-Semite on his own. Right? So, you know, there's plenty of goyim out there who hate the Jews.
You just said he made a mistake. He thought that God didn't care about the Jews anymore. So why does he have to go... But you have to go and make him do something. You already think God doesn't care about them anymore.
Because
it's true, but it's one thing when he doesn't care about them. But if he wants to go in and actually kill them out, then he's got to cause them really to sin. He's got to go that extra mile to cause them to sin.
I think you have to understand the Jews are different than any other people in the world. You believe in God, and they believed in Zoroastrianism, God of light and God of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even in when you say Madlikim, there's a down near the end there. You're allowed to blow out the candle. It says you can blow out the candles because of the goyim. And what does that mean? The Zoroastrianism believe in the god of light and the god of dark. And if it was a holiday, and it was, let's say, Friday night, and the women bench licht, and they saw a light in the house, they come and kill you.
Right. Yeah.
So it was a pagan world. And the Jews were different.
To Potegro, this idea of Jews were different, but maybe the idea of party was to make these people not to be as other, because they're different because of the belief in...
They acted that they didn't... It came Shabbos.
Yeah. He keeps everything. It means if he make everything to turn these people to sin, it means he won't kind of be stronger than God. This is my idea, but
yeah.
I don't see what is idea ruler to kill. No, there is no ruler to kill without any...
It came later on, there was in the Romans, I think the Gemara says it's... they asked the Jews to do something, they said, Shepei. Shabbos Hayom, Pesach Hayom,
right.
I gotta quit work early, it's Friday, it's another Yontif, it's Rosh Hashanah, it's Pesach. There's no way to deal with the Jews. Everything they do is different than anybody else in the world.
Yeah,
even today.
But they're not bothering.
I'm gonna go get some water. I'll be right back.
You don't have to bother them. They see you're different, they don't like you.
No, but that's different. They usually make people... Suspicion. Why
everybody's different.
No, yes,
every country's different.
You want to be?
Why do you should? Why everybody? Each country should hate each other and blow each other up.
No, no.
What happened with Stalin? Why didn't they like him?
Usually, countries is this people. All people the same. It's the same. At least they're born the same.
Why didn't Stalin like you?
Because Stalin, I cannot say he hated Jews.
Why?
He did.
What did you do that he wouldn't let you out of the country?
During Stalin times, there is no special policy to Jews. He killed everyone, Jews, not more than others.
Well, say, we have a Stalin, whatever, a Paro. He didn't want to let him out of the country. Why? He'd rather kill him.
He was using them as slaves.
No, Parable was, in this case, Parable was kind of smart.
He used Jews as slaves.
Jews weren't slaves at this time.
But slaves, at least they work.
After Nebuchadnezzar, the Jews became, and he conquered, Jews weren't slaves anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amar will take your place.
He hates Mordechai, everyone. He personal want people to be killed. But king, it's not clear.
At the outset, you said he thought it was an opportune time. I think you said because he had, in all of his provinces, he had the Jews. Is that what you said?
Yes.
So what made that an opportune time?
Because as Chazal tell us that every single point in history, Hashem made sure that the Jews were spread amongst a few different kings. In case one of the kings turns evil, he's going to kill one of the Jews under his jurisdiction. At least he'll have the other Jews under the other kings. This was the first time in history that you had a king who was not a ruler over the whole world, who ruled over all the countries where Jews resided. Every single country that was under the jurisdiction of Ahasuerus had Jews living in it.
So this is a time when the Jews were vulnerable, usually they're not.
Yes, exactly.
That's why he felt Hashem had broken the relationship.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. In any case, so we'll see that Ahasuerus actually went to great lengths to cause the Jews to sin. So one thing we mentioned is he put Shoshanes in the couches. Second thing it says, if you look in the Megillah, it says, "B'chatzar ginas bitan hamelech." When it describes the party, when it describes the garden, what does it say? It says, "Ginas bitan hamelech." What is bitan in Hebrew? Bitan in Hebrew is? Anybody? Professor?
I didn't hear what you said.
A bitan. You know the word bitan?
Bitan?
Yeah. So bitan, in Hebrew, means hut. Like Pizza Hut, right? Except without the pizza. Right? A hut.
A cup?
A hut. Like a little house.
A hut. Oh.
Yeah.
A sofa.
So it says that Ahasuerus put little huts, little houses, throughout the garden. And he put forth various prostitutes. They'll be walking around the garden to seduce the Jewish men. In case one of the Jewish men was seduced, he can immediately...
This is, he had to set up when he made the party.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't there all the time, it was just now for the party. Okay.
Special for the party, yes. Again, to cause the Jews to sin. Another thing he made sure of was that there is no music in the party. If you notice, it says it talks about the food, it talks about the wine, it talks about the decorations, right? Decorations also. He put there especially because he knew that the chachamim, the rabbis, were obviously not going to look at the prostitutes. So what did he do? He put all these different various arts, work of art, and since the rabbis, the chachamim, were very knowledgeable, they were interested in the arts and the different wisdom, so maybe they would look up to see the art. And they would catch a glimpse of a prostitute, and that would Chas v'Shalom seduce them. So he was very, very crafty in how he tried to seduce the Jews.
But what is wrong with prostitutes?
What is wrong?
This is not allowed to go to prostitute, Jewish people?
No. What?
But in the Torah, this is...
First of all, they're non-Jewish women. That's number one. Right?
Chasing chicks.
But Torah told the story that who is Yaakov? Yehuda.
Yeah, first of all, Tamar was Jewish.
He doesn't know.
Okay, listen, Yehuda and Tamar is a whole different story. It's a good question.
He found a woman, believes he is prostitute, and didn't have any doubts to go or not.
First of all, marriage before Matan Torah was very different. It says, the Rambam describes that if a man and woman wanted to get married, a man could walk down the street, meet a nice lady and say, hey, you want to get together? Great, perfect, you know, shake hands, okay, we're married now, done. They can go home and do whatever they want, right? After Matan Torah, after the Torah was given, the whole system was very different. You couldn't just meet a lady on the street and just...
Come with me.
Yeah. It wasn't like that. It was very different. So in the times of Yehuda, it was very different because that was before the giving of the Torah.
It means In that time, in our times, prostitute is not optional.
Yeah. That's the short answer. There's much more to that, but that's the 30-second answer.
It's like the guy, he met his friend, and he says, what's doing? He's
no,
like,
I
have a tootsie. He says, you have a tootsie? What's a tootsie? He says, you know, a prostitutesie.
No, but I read a different story about cases. Even
you got to laugh, too.
Rabbi in our time was caught, caged with prostitute. I don't know if it's a sin or this is...
So how, if he didn't like the Jews, how come Mordechai was one of his top men in his government?
Well, he was an advisor. Even though Ahasuerus hated the Jews, he wasn't stupid. He knew that the Jews are smart. He knew that if he wants wisdom, or if he wants good, knowledgeable advisors, he's got to go to the Jews. Yeah. Right? He knew that. So
he, in one hand, he's trying to get rid of them.
Yeah.
On the other hand, he doesn't want to get rid of them. He can use their brains.
Right.
That doesn't...
Why?
Listen, anti-Semites don't think with logic. Right? It doesn't... Anti-Semite and logic doesn't go together.
You study Chumash and you read one of the Mefarshim, Ababanel. You ever hear of him?
So?
Who was he? He was an advisor to
I know
Queen Elizabeth. And then he was an advisor to, in Portugal...
Yeah,
to the king.
Okay.
Yeah, there were plenty of Jews throughout history that were advisors. We're going to see actually later on that after Vashti refused to listen to Ahasuerus, what does it say in the Megillah? That Ahasuerus turns to who? The Chachamim Yoidei Ha'itim. The wise men who know the times. The Gemara says, who is that? That is the Sanhedrin, right? The high Jewish court. Why are they called Yoidei Ha'itim? They're called Yoidei Ha'itim because they know how to set a leap year, how to set a leap month. Sorry. Therefore, they're called Chachamim Yoidei Ha'itim. And, So we find that Ahasuerus, even though he hated the Jews, he still turned to them for advice anytime he needed. So now, again, back to the music. Very important. Ahasuerus made sure there was no music at all at this Mishneh. Why? Because music has the ability, it has the power to bring a person to back to Hashem. To bring up thoughts of tshuva. It says that when a person brought a korban to the Beis HaMikdash after he did an avera, the Kohen would look at the person and see through Ruach HaKodesh exactly which Avera he had done. According to that Avera, customly designed to this person and the Avera that he did, that he committed, he would then signal to the Levim, and they would sing a song that was handcrafted and custom designed specifically to this person to bring up the emotions inside of him of deep regret for the Avera that he committed. And that would cause him to do tshuva. That's what went on in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gra in the Sefer called Beis HaShulchan talks about it in his introduction. It's very, very it's fascinating.
Singing was part of the sacrifice?
Yeah, sure. Oh. For sure. And so Ahasuerus knew this, and therefore he made sure that there was no music at all at this party. For instance, if you look at the word zemer in Hebrew, Zemer is spelled how? Zayin, Mem, Resh. Now music can go both ways. It can go bring a person higher, positive, elevate a person, or it could also bring him down. And you see this illustrated in the word Zemer. If you take the word Zemer, and you look at all the letters after the word the letters in the word Zemer. So you have Zayin, Mem, Resh. What are the words after Zayin, Mem, and Resh? After the words are Ches, after Zion. After Mem comes Nun. After Resh comes Shin. So Nun, Mem, Ches, Nun Shin spells the word Nachash, snake, serpent. If you take the same word Zemer and you look at the words, the letters before, what do you get? Before Zayin comes Vav, before Mem comes Lamed, before Resh comes Kuf. That spells the word Kol, voice, a heavenly voice, right? We look, the Gemara talks about a Bas Kol, a heavenly voice. So we see, we find that Zemer can go both ways. Song can go bring a person up, bring him, elevate him, like we see in the base of Mikdash. And, God forbid, it could also bring him down. So, therefore, Achashverosh did not want to take any chances at all. So he made sure that there was no music whatsoever in the Mishteh, in this party. Now, one more thing was very important. Is that, as we mentioned, he had to cause the Jews to sin. But not only that, he had to cause them to sin in a way they would be held responsible. And in order to do that, he had to abolish an ancient Persian custom. See, the Persians were party animals. They loved partying. Now, when you go to a party, and you have a few people that are drunk, and a few people that are sober, it kind of ruins the vibe. It's not as fun, right? Because then people that are sober are making fun of the people that are drunk, and you don't have everyone joining into the stupid jokes and whatever else is going on over there. Therefore, there was an ancient Persian custom that everyone who goes to a party has to and must, by law, must drink. He was given a goblet full of wine by the bartender, and he had to drain the contents of that goblet.
The whole thing.
The whole thing.
I mean, the whole thing right away, or...
Okay, well, I don't know if there's a time limit.
There was a time limit or not, I mean.
Good question.
He could leave it there for 2 or 3 hours. It wouldn't take effect,
right.
Like, no, if he drank it right away.
It's Russian party also. It's not allowed not to drink.
Yeah? Oh, yeah? It's a...
Make it, you know, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. That's why, traditionally, the barman in Persia was one of the wealthiest men in Persia, because... Someone went to a party and he didn't want to drink because either it would make him ill or he was a respectable man, it was unbecoming. So what did he do? Exactly.
Paid him off.
Then he slipped a few bucks under the table, you know, take care of my goblet, you know, don't tell anyone. And hence, the barman was one of the wealthiest men. Now, Achashverosh at this party was faced with a problem. If all the Jews are going to be forced to drink at the party, then they could say, they might sin, but then they could tell Hashem, listen, you know, yeah, we sinned, but we were forced. We were forced to drink, we were forced to get drunk, and that's why we sinned. Mm-hmm. Right? We're not responsible. It's not our fault. Therefore, Achashverosh abolished that ancient custom to force everyone to drink, and he said, it's a democracy. Right? It's a free country. You want to drink? Fine. You don't want to drink? No problem. We're not going to force you, right? It says in the Megillah to do like the will of Haman or like the will of Mordechai, whatever you want, you could do, right? We're not going to coerce you to do anything at all. And so, therefore, he made sure. The Gemara says that they would ask a person how old he was, and however old he was, they would give him wine that was older than whatever he was. If you were 30, they give you wine that was 35 years old. If you're 70, they give you wine that was 75 years old. They were serving very, very expensive wine. Again, this is all to seduce the Jews and get them to drink on their own choice, and then hopefully get them to sin. Now, at the party, what does Achashverosh do? He goes ahead and he wears the clothes of the Kohen Gadol. He walks in with the clothes of the Kohen Gadol. Now, this was a very bold move. Why? Because Belshazzar, who was the Roman king, tried the stunt a few years ago. He won the war against Persia, Belshazzar. He was the king of Rome. And the night he won, he gathered all of his ministers. They had a big party. They got drunk. And while they're sitting there, in their drunken stupor, Belshazzar comes out wearing the clothes of the Kohen Gadol, And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a hand appears, an apparition of a hand appears, writes on the wall, Minei, Minei Tekalu Parke, which are words in Aramaic, which mean, weighed, weighed, measured, and divided. Now, the king and the ministers are watching this, they're freaking out, they don't know what's going on, right? This apparition of a man is writing these weird letters they don't recognize. So they call Daniel, the prophet, who was an advisor to the king. They tell him, what is this? So he tells him what it is, weighed, weighed, measured, and divided. And he's telling him, because you wore the clothes of the Kohen Gadol, Hashem will now punish you for that. And in fact, that night, the Persian forces regrouped, attacked the army of the Romans, killed out the whole royal family, except for one young princess by the name of
Vashti.
Now Ahasuerus, right? He comes to the party, wearing the clothes of the Kohen Gadol, knowing that that's what happened to Belshazzar a few years ago. So this was a very, very bold move. Now this party was not just any party. This was actually his wedding party. Who was he marrying? He was marrying Vashti. Now this was not only a romance, right? It was much more than that. The Gemara actually says that Vashti was one of the most four beautiful women who ever lived. But it seems like it's not the only reason he married her. He had another hidden reason that he wanted to marry her. Since many of his citizens were still loyal to the old king, Rome, he needed to gain their support, right? So therefore, he went ahead, he married the only living heir of the royal Roman family, Vashti, thereby solidifying his monarchy, and the wedding was really a political coup to strengthen his own position, to cause the Roman citizens to now be loyal to him.
Actually, she didn't want to marry him.
No, she didn't want to marry him, but she didn't really have any choice.
He's a commoner.
Right.
He had nothing to do with royalty. He was a good soldier, and he ranked up, and he became the king.
Yeah.
But he had nothing to do with royalty, and she says, who the hell are you?
Right.
Now tell me what to do.
The story didn't say this is wedding party.
Right, it doesn't say that. It says in the
Vashti look is his wife.
Did she what?
Vashti.
Yeah.
In the text, she is wife. She's not bright.
She's not bright? What do you mean?
No, but she's wife.
Right. It doesn't say that she's a bride.
It means she's wife.
Right.
It means she was, when she said no, it means she doesn't want to come to the, not to the wedding, but to his husband.
Mm. Right. Right.
But where written about the wedding?
In the Mefarshim. The commentators bring it down.
Okay, that's a kind of new light of this story.
Yeah. Yeah, if you look at the story of the Megillah, you don't really see...
You're not going to get half of it.
Yeah. There's much more. The Gemara talks about, different commentators talk about, there's much more going on over there.
It's mean, if this is party, she object to go to the wedding.
No, she was at the wedding. It says she actually held her own party. But she didn't want to go ahead and agree to see Ahasuerus in person.
It's not she doesn't want to be married.
She wants
to be in her own party.
Right.
I want you to take this home. Then you're going to get a lot more.
There's a lot of comment. Okay.
This was the first book that Rabbi Cooley wrote so the Jews could, in the 1700s, if I'm not mistaken, he was from Turkey.
First rogue.
And he wrote the Megillah. He explains Megillus Esther so you can understand it better. Take it home and read it. You'll enjoy it.
Okay.
There is different million books probably.
No, this is the best.
Best, okay.
In any case, so you have Achashverosh, all of his buddies, sitting around at the party. They get drunk. What do they talk about?
Women.
They talk about, yeah, exactly. You talk about women, right? This guy says, women from my country are the most beautiful. This guy says, women from my country are the most beautiful. Finally, Achashverosh says, my wife is more beautiful than all of yours. And to prove it, I'm going to order her to come right now. Right? Bekesar Malchus, it says in the Megillah. Wearing the crown and the crown only. Now the Gemara tells us, why did this happen to Vashti? Right? Because Vashti herself, right, she forced the Jewish women to go ahead and work on Shabbos while they were naked. And therefore she's now being punished in a very similar way. Now in fact it says that Vashti was actually willing to come forth to the mishteh, to the party, dressed, well, undressed like this, right? But, as I'll say, either she grew a tail or she got leprosy. And what does she do? She says she obviously couldn't come to the party like that, and that was part of her punishment. And so she sends back a message to Achashverosh. Oh, look at you, right? You drink a few cups of wine and you totally lose your whole sense of who you are, right? And my father was able to drink a full barrel of wine and hold his liquor, no problem. But you can't hold your liquor at all. Now when Achashverosh heard this, he was fuming. How dare you speak to me like that? The king, right? You're gonna speak to me like that? Now he didn't know what to do. Right? On one hand, first of all, she's, I don't know if he loved her, but she was definitely one of the most beautiful women. Secondly, right, he's marrying her for political reasons. He wants to establish his power base, so he can't just kill her. So what does he do? He turns to the Sanhedrin. We'll stop in just a minute. He turns to the Sanhedrin and he tells them, what do I do? Now the Sanhedrin knew that whatever they say, they're in trouble.
They were up right? the creek.
Exactly. They tell him to kill her. Next morning when he wakes up from his drunken stupor, he's going to say, oh, why did you tell me to kill her? They tell him to do nothing. Then he's going to say, oh, you don't care for my honor? So what do they say? Listen, from the time the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, we do not have the power anymore to make these kind of decisions because the Shekhinah left us. So we're very sorry, but we need to decline. We can't give you advice on this matter. And then, if you look at the Pesukim, it says, first he turns to Chachamim Yoidei Ha'itim, he turns to the Sanhedrin, like we said before. But and then, the next Pesuk says that he turned to his 7 Persian advisors. Why? Because the Sanhedrin turned them down. And, okay, we'll have to stop here, and we'll continue another time.